What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this May 20th, 2024. We are getting closer and closer to the summer. I look at the calendar. Well, not a physical calendar. Unless you got like a big office at some corporation and you got that desk with the calendar and you scribble things on it in front of you, which not a lot of us have. I just look at my laptop, and in the upper right corner of my MacBook, I see it says May 20th, and it's the middle of the afternoon, so that's what I go by. And it seems like it was just showing April or March. Where does this time go? It just flies by. Right now, though, in South Florida, we are a complete hockey town. Hockey town USA. Although Rangers fans would say they are Hockey Town USA, or Stars fans would say they are Hockey Town USA. We'll see about that. The Florida Panthers, they are alive and well in the race for the Stanley Cup, taking on the New York Rangers in 2 days from now on Wednesday, Madison Square Garden. The Eastern Conference Final. It is time to go crazy. This is what it's all about. The Panthers have reached the conference final for the second straight season. Think about where they were. I remember doing show after show after show, year after year after year. More than two decades. The Panthers went nearly a quarter century between playoff series wins. And now they're in back-to-back conference finals. And it's the Eastern Conference Final. I go over this every year. Normally, we're not talking about the Panthers, but last year we were, and this year we are again. Just so you get this straight with your friends, family, you want to be proper. You want everything to be correct. It is the Eastern Conference Final and then the Stanley Cup Final. The NBA, they say Finals. The National Hockey League, they say Final. I saw the message board, the video board, I should say, at Miami International Airport when you're driving in. And it says, good luck to the Florida Panthers in the finals. Now, they may be talking about Eastern Conference Finals, Stanley Cup Final. They probably don't know what they're talking about. But it is final. So when you say it to a friend, when you talk about it, and you want to sound very intelligent, don't say finals, say final. I'm just very happy that we're talking about the Eastern Conference Final. If the Panthers weren't in it, I wouldn't be talking about it. Like, I'm not going to talk about the Eastern Conference Final in the NBA so much because the Heat are not in it. If I was going to sit here and talk about the Pacers and the Celtics, then I would be a fake national show. You could go to so many places right now and hear about the Pacers and the Celtics. You could hear about the T-Wolves beating the Nuggets and breaking it down. That wouldn't separate me from everyone else. You come here to hear South Florida sports stories, to hear about the Panthers, to hear about the Heat, to hear about the Dolphins. Do you come here to hear about the
Miami Marlins?
Maybe so. I'm a big baseball fan. We're so lucky to have so many sports in South Florida. And so many sports fans. How many places can you live or go where they have an NFL team, a college football team, multiple college football teams for us, an NHL team, an NBA team, a Major League Baseball team, an MLS team, college basketball teams, F1 racing, NASCAR, major tennis tournament, horse racing, and I'm probably missing a few. I'm just saying things off the top of my head. What do we not have in South Florida? When people talk about South Florida or Miami as a sports town, I always say it's great. We've had many years where our teams were not good, but we have everything. I see from time to time people saying, oh my gosh, the Marlins are so bad. Why don't we just get rid of them? And I always think to myself, and sometimes aloud, like I am right now, why would you ever want to get rid of a professional sports franchise? Even if you don't like the team, you're mad at the team, and a lot of people are mad at the Marlins, why would you want to get rid of them? You don't want to see the Yankees come to town or the Mets come to town? Well, Mets fans, they're always mad at their own team.
Meet the Mets, step right up and greet the Mets.
Hey, at least they didn't get swept. That would have been something. But the Red Sox, they're coming to town. So big deal if fans from other teams are going to the stadium. We have a professional sport in our backyard, and I want it for every single league, and that is what we have. And maybe even the WNBA will be coming back. I saw some rumblings about that. Remember the Miami Soul? I don't watch the WNBA, but a lot of people do. Well, I don't know about a lot, but maybe more people are now because of Caitlin Clark. But it's all good. A lot of people don't watch hockey. A lot of people don't watch baseball. Everybody watches football. Some people don't watch the NBA for whatever reason. I just want every single professional team that we could possibly have. I want it in South Florida. I remember going to Miami Hooters games. Jim Jensen. I don't remember, though, if Jim Jensen was once the quarterback for the Hooters. I believe he was the coach, but was he also the quarterback once? I could look that up, but I just remember going to Miami Hooters games and Hootie was out there. It was a cool atmosphere. I remember going to minor league hockey games at the Miami Arena. The Miami Matadors. That only lasted like two or three seasons, though, if that. But I remember that. I won't crack a joke and say we should have maybe a minor league baseball team because we sort of already do. I guess maybe I just did crack the joke. But right now, a place, South Florida, that's not traditionally thought of as a hockey power, we have an NHL team that is on a run. And that run is not done with. It's now a thing. It was a thing last season, but the Miami Heat, they were occupying the same space. Sometimes the Panthers and Heat were playing at the same exact time on television. And I know the Miami Heat take precedent in South Florida over the Florida Panthers. Well, now that the Heat are long gone out of the NBA playoffs, this is the Florida Panthers stage. And I'm really excited about it. This is the matchup that I wanted for entertainment purposes. I don't think any fan in Florida realistically would say, bring on the Rangers because that's a great matchup. I don't think any fan in New York, any hockey fan in New York, would say, bring on the Panthers. I think this is more exciting for South Florida than it is for New York as far as who the opponent is. So for entertainment purposes, for story purposes, for drama and all of that, anytime you're facing a New York team, it's fun. I was going to say fantastic, but in the end, maybe it won't be fantastic. It's fun. These Panthers-Rangers games, they should be awesome. I like the Panthers' chances, It starts at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday. Game two is on Friday. Then it comes to Sunrise on Sunday afternoon. I will be there in Sunrise Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. I will be there Tuesday night for game four. And if there's a game five, I've already got my flight. I'm going to New York for game five. In and out. Fly in that day. Fly out very early in the morning, about 6:30 a.m. If there was a flight at 1 a.m., trust me, I would take it. I cannot stand New York. Not because of the people, although there are some crazies on the street. It's too fast for me. There's too much going on. There's too much noise. I can't stand it. But Madison Square Garden is just unbelievable. And I was already looking up ticket prices. They're double, even more than double, of what it is in Sunrise. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Rangers fans at the Amerant Bank Arena. But that's all good. Hopefully the Panthers get a good start at MSG. All right, I got a lot to get to this afternoon. I've been talking for 11 minutes, and I haven't even gotten to what I really want to get to. When I'm having breakfast in the morning, which is typically the time you have breakfast in the morning, although some of you eat breakfast for dinner, I've never really been that type of guy. I don't eat eggs and bacon and pancakes for dinner, but it's all good if you do. When I'm having breakfast and I'm having my coffee, I've always got my MacBook in front of me and I'm writing things out. I'm typing things. I'm looking things up and I'm always ready to go come showtime. So I got a lot of information and it's time that I get to it. But I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
There are many reasons to be impressed that the Florida Panthers are in the Eastern Conference Final. This run has not only been outstanding, it's been remarkable. One number that jumps off the page to me is six. What's funny is I'm starting this segment with the number six, and I believe in the next segment I'm also going to be saying six, but I'm going to be adding toe onto the end of it. Six toe. Right now, though, I just want to talk about the number six, not six toe. Six jumps off the page to me because that is how many games in a row the Panthers won on the road against Boston. Bear in mind, last year, those road wins, and I'm talking about playoff wins, last year, they were against the best team in hockey. That's what the Bruins were. That building, the TD Garden, is not supposed to be an easy place to play. It is hard to beat any team six times in a row in their building. But to do it with the type of pressure that you have during a playoff run is remarkable. And that's what the Florida Panthers did last year and this year. Three last season. Three this season. And that's why the Florida Panthers are now in the Eastern Conference Final. Not because of last year, but because of this year. The reason they're in back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, though, is because of both. That Gustav Forsling goal, one for the ages. It's not Bill Lindsay's goal against Boston. But you look at every aspect of it, it was the series clincher. You could start there. It was a game that felt like it was going to head to overtime. Both goalies were playing really well. Swayman was as calm as could be. And Bob was doing Bob things. During the goal, it looked like Forsling was kind of drifting away. And then boom, under one of the Bruins defenders and right into the net. It almost looked like a no-look goal, a beautiful goal at the exact moment the Florida Panthers needed it. And that goal will only grow in importance. As the Panthers keep winning and they keep moving forward in the postseason, that goal, it was huge. And what about Bob?
Bob, you are testing my patience.
Come on, I've come so far. Bob, I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
I remember playing that clip so many times during Bob's tenure with this Florida Panthers team. Then Bob turned it on. Bob turned it on last season. And this year he's been so good. I love how every time there's a media scrum during a morning skate, a practice, someone from the media goes up to Paul Maurice, says, "Hey, coach, who's starting in net tonight?" I love that because I'm waiting for Paul Maurice to just go off on that question. Who do you think we're starting? I don't even understand that question. Who are you starting in goal? Oh, yeah, we're going to give Spencer Knight a turn. I mean, what is that? We know who's starting in goal. Bob is the guy who got the Florida Panthers to where they are. He was the hot goalie last season, and this year he's been doing dang good as well. In the clincher in Boston, after giving up a kind of fluky goal, just a beautiful pass led to an easy goal. After that, Bob let in
nothing.
Nada. He shut it down. It's pretty simple with him. If you listen to Bob talk about goaltending, his whole thing is staying in the moment. He cannot control what type of shots he faces. He can't control how well the defense plays in front of him. But he can lock in. He could take it moment by moment and see what he's able to do against some tough circumstances. And then you have players in front of him, not only defensemen, but when you look at that play by Barkov with about 2 minutes left in the game, where a rocket was heading in Bob's direction, and he basically stopped it with an open hand, what a winning play, giving up his body for his team. Barkov is a player who we know is capable of the fanciest goals you'll see. He's so good on offense. But at the moment of truth, Barkov is not afraid to get dirty. He made it happen. A remarkable play defensively. And that is one of the reasons why Barkov was just rewarded with his second Selke Award. That's given to the offensive player with the best defensive mentality. It essentially awards him for being a two-way player. Very cool for Barkov. And at that moment where he gave up his body to block a shot, it tells you everything you need to know. Now, I'm still waiting on Tkachuk and Reinhardt, which is sort of good news because the Panthers have won half the games they need to win a Stanley Cup, 8 down. They got 8 to go. And the guy who had 57 goals during the regular season and Mr. Clutch, Matthew Tkachuk, they haven't done a whole lot. They've been involved, but again, not a whole lot. If somehow the Panthers had lost Game 6 and Game 7 to Boston, who do you think we'd be talking about? We'd be killing Reinhardt and Tkachuk. We'd be saying, hey, you guys are supposed to be team leaders. You did it all year. You did it last year in the playoffs. What the heck is going on? Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that because the Panthers defeated Boston. Now they're going to take on the Rangers. Look at where they are without even having Reinhardt and Tkachuk majorly involved. Those guys, they're going to have plenty of chances at Madison Square Garden coming up Wednesday and Friday. We're 2 days away from the fun getting started. Now, for me, it's always fun in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. There's so much action going on there. I know there's going to be a lot of action Wednesday in New York, but every single day in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, there's tons of action. Bonus high hands, cash games, No Limit Texas Hold'em, Pot Limit Omaha, tournaments galore in the morning and at night. For the entire tournament schedule, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. They've got their Deep Stack series going on right now. So much money guaranteed in the prize pool. For the schedule of events, to see every single buy-in, the amount of money that'll be up for grabs, the easiest thing to do is go to that site, SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. And then make your way to the Hard Rock, go to the poker room, get in on the action. There's a lot of it at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. On Saturday, I watched the Preakness Stakes. I almost won. I had an exacta, but I didn't win. Almost won. I mean, that doesn't really count for anything. But what does count, the winners at Gulfstream Park that you can get during the Royal Palm Meet. Live racing going on at Gulfstream Park. I was talking about at the beginning of this hour how we've got so many different events in South Florida all of the time. Horse racing is one of them. And a beautiful track in Hollandale Beach. A great facility, Gulfstream Park. And the Royal Palm Meet, they've got live racing 4 days a week. So you can go out there on a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday. Those 4 days, you will be able to watch the races live at Gulfstream Park. You can go out there any day and wager on races from other tracks. That's always fun too. Winning is fun, of course. But on those live race days, my suggestion, do what I do. Get a table at 10 Palms, their trackside restaurant. You have a fantastic meal. You watch the races live in front of you and wager on them. You don't even have to bet a whole lot. You could wager 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all the time. So visit Gulfstream Park any day you want, but particularly live racing every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the Royal Palm Meet, and it's going on right now at Gulfstream Park. What was going on yesterday at Loan Depot Park? Well, we'll have baseball there again tonight as the Brewers are in town. But yesterday, who lit up Sixto Sanchez more? Was it the Mets lineup in the first inning? Or was it Skip Schumacher after the game? This is what I always ask for in sports. Just give me at least a little bit of
honesty.
Tell us the truth.
I want the truth!
If something is good, please let us know. If something is bad, please let us know. If you go to Bally Marlins on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, if you didn't see it already, look at the first part of Skip's post-game press conference from yesterday. Skip made it very clear he is annoyed at Sixto Sanchez. This dude has a 19 ERA in the first inning. It's a problem. He can't get out of the gate. It's just like I was talking about Gulfstream Park. If you're betting on a horse that has a problem getting out of the gate, it's probably not going to end well, the result. Sixto Sanchez, he cannot get out of the gate. He starts a game, and the first inning is always brutal. And when you have a starter who gives you a brutal first inning, it wasn't just yesterday, it's all of his first innings, that means that pitcher cannot give your team any length, which means that pitcher is taxing the bullpen. And at the same time, that pitcher is taxing the offense. Because when you come to bat for the first time of the day and you're down 4-0, that's an early problem and it impacts batters. Maybe the hitters try to do too much. It's just not good for the team. Listening to Skip's post-game comments yesterday, I loved them. Because how often do we hear a coach or a manager really go off on their players publicly? I remember a few games ago, with the Panthers, Aaron Ekblad, he had a very rough defensive night. I think it was game one of the Bruins series. Paul Maurice was asked about it. Paul Maurice said, Aaron Ekblad is a Florida Panther, so I 100% love him, and I'm sure he'll have a better game too. In other words, Paul Maurice is not going to call out one of his guys or challenge one of his guys with all of the microphones in front of him. But Skip Schumacher, he was like, enough. Enough of these horrible first innings. When you've thrown 40 pitches in the first and your team is down 4-0, now you got to go to the pen early. It causes all kinds of other problems. So I loved the fact that Skip called out Sixto Sanchez, not just because it's Sixto Sanchez. I don't have anything against Sixto Sanchez. But the fact that the manager is sick and tired of these starts by him in the first inning, and I'm sure he's spoken to him about these starts several times. In fact, when I was listening to Skip Schumacher talk post-game, he did mention that he and Sixto have had some conversations. Whatever conversations he's had with him, apparently they haven't worked. So now maybe this will work. In a way, I'm sure Skip is calling out Sixto because he means it and he is tired of it. Skip's like,
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And at the same time, everything else that Skip has tried has not worked. So maybe, although I'm kind of doubtful about this, maybe calling Sixto out publicly will get the job done. Although I'm not quite sure how much Sixto Sanchez cares about Skip calling him out publicly. Sixto was the main piece of that JT Realmuto deal to Philadelphia. And he was hurt and hurt and hurt and throwing from 30 feet and 50 feet and 60 feet. Finally, Sixto comes back. And he's in the bullpen at first. And then the Marlins are down so many starters, they have him start. And his second and third and fourth innings are okay. But his first inning is horrific. I mean, coming into the game yesterday, he had a 15-something ERA. So it wasn't just yesterday's game that inflated his first inning ERA. And when I said 15 coming into the game, that was just for the first inning, if you look at the splits. They need to do something there. I don't know if he'll get another chance. Maybe he'll get one more shot. And if what Skip said yesterday did not work, or whatever he says to him moving forward does not work, they're going to do something. Maybe throw someone out there for the first inning and have Sixto pitch 2-6. I don't know. I don't know if that means Sixto would have a terrible second inning for the Marlins, which would be his first. In the end, you might be saying,
who cares?
Because none of this really matters. But what are you going to do? Just give up on the season and whatever happens, happens, and not talk about it and not try to fix it? You want your team to be in a better place for the future. At least you want to figure things out this season while it's already down in the dumps. And I'm sure they're going to get rid of more players. That's Peter Bendix's plan, so it seems. I was watching a little bit of the Braves and Padres game. They had an early afternoon game, part of a doubleheader. And it sickens me to see Luis Arraez leading off for the Padres. And of course, he got a hit. How do you give up that guy? Oh, so brutal. And after they dealt him, that's when all the outrage came, of course, as it should. But as I was saying in the previous segment, before the hour officially started, why would anyone want the franchise to leave town and then you have less baseball? To me, that makes no sense. You could be mad at the team, but you still want a baseball team. I want to see other teams come in to take on the Marlins. I want to go see the other players. I know the Yankees aren't coming in this year. They came in last. They'll come in next. And we got a lot of New Yorkers in South Florida. What about those Yankees? I don't want to jinx anything, but what they've been doing in the Bronx, 7 in a row, the offense looks so stacked. Moving Verdugo to the four hole seems to help out big time, and Judge has been really hot. Soto's the best hitter on the planet. They'll be getting DJ back soon. Not
Derek Jeter.
No, he's past prime, and he never had a prime running a team. We know that. Gerrit Cole, he'll be coming back. Jason Dominguez. We could talk about deadline deals down the line, but those three players alone, major upgrades for New York, and should make them even more frightening to every other team in the league. So next year, you go to Lone Depot Park, go see the Yankees, maybe the World Series champion New York Yankees. There's a lot going on in New York, but I think they're going to be very sad about the Eastern Conference Final. Are they sad about the Knicks? There's something that I saw yesterday with those Knicks fans, and I want to bring this to the table because I want to bring up Heat fans, and I'll do that in just a moment. Now, what all of you should be doing is calling up Stewie for the bagel loan, not if you're hungry and want an everything bagel, but if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan that Stewie is offering you, because the middle of that bagel, there's a zero, and that's what you pay Stewie. Zero, nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. How could you not want the bagel loan if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing? What I've got for you, Stewie's got the bagel loan. I've got Stewie's personal cell phone number. Why would you not call him if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing? It's not going to hurt. Tell him you're interested in the bagel loan. Here's Stewie's personal cell phone, 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, if you're refinancing, let Stewie get you the bagel loan where you pay him nothing. No lender fees and no appraisal fees. MLS 226715. I was watching that Knicks game yesterday, mostly the end of it. And I'm not here to talk about the Knicks. I'm more or less going to talk more about Knicks fans and also Heat fans. Heat fans are annoyed by every single season they don't win the title. Even last year as an 8 seed, they won a game at Denver. They ended up losing in 5 games, but the Heat had a magical run. And to Heat fans, last season was not considered a success, because the team and all their fans have eyes on actually winning a title and nothing less. I'm watching the game yesterday, and it feels like New Yorkers are just too happy with "we don't stink." The Garden is buzzing and the guys are getting after it. We should give them a round of applause and be thankful for what we just got. You think Heat fans would do that? Now, Knicks fans have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, but still, why don't you raise the bar just a little bit? If you don't raise the bar, you're not going to raise a banner. If you want to celebrate, cool, but do it after you do something. Not, "we almost made it to the conference finals." The Miami Heat and their fans have championship culture. If a fan is even remotely satisfied with almost making it to the conference finals, come on. The Heat could write a similar narrative and say, "hey, we almost got far, but we were without Jimmy Butler. We were without Terry Rozier. We had maybe a quarter of a tank of Duncan Robinson. He was badly beat up, back injury. We won a game in Boston. We should have gotten swept. We didn't. The Heat and their fans could have made that the storyline. But Miami Heat fans know better. There's no celebrating. There's no being okay with it. If you think I'm exaggerating with the celebrating, that's fine. But you cannot even be okay with what happened. Yeah, we don't stink again. No, that's not it. Act like you've been there before. That's what I think the attitude should be. And I guess the reason Knicks fans act like they've never been there before is because they haven't. Knicks fans haven't had that much to celebrate about since the days of Mason and Starks. Any smell of success, and suddenly everyone is like okay with it. Now, there's a lot of New Yorkers in South Florida. There's a lot of New Yorkers who are tuned in right now who are going off on me, and I'm not finished. I'm almost finished going off on the Knicks fans, but I'm going to bring it closer to home here in a second where you'll see I do talk in reality all of the time. Now, whatever superstar in the NBA can crack the code and get the Knicks over the hump to win a title, that accomplishment is going to live on for a long time. Now, the way Knicks fans reacted yesterday, it reminded me of one of our local franchises, and I hate to do this, but again, I keep it 100. This show is always all about honesty. It reminded me of Dolphins fans. The Dolphins, they have their legacy from the 70s, just like the Knicks. They haven't won a dang thing since then. And just like Knicks fans, Dolphins fans are so desperate for something. Anything to cheer for, they'll go nuts. Even if it's nowhere near where they should be. If you ask Mike McDaniel his aspirations for the season, he's going to say, let's make the playoffs, let's win a playoff game, and let's go from there, and you want to win the Super Bowl. He'll probably say it with more conviction. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since the year 2000. Mike McDaniel will put the expectation, I'm sure, of Super Bowl or bust. But the fans, if the Dolphins make the playoffs and win one game, snapping that streak since 2000, I know how Dolphins fans will think. They'll think that was a good year. You want to win it all. You'll be disappointed if they don't. But if the Dolphins win a playoff game, you're going to be thrilled. You're going to say, this franchise, we're going in the right direction. Finally, it's coming. Finally. You'll be excited. So while I talk badly about Knicks fans who seemed okay with losing Game 7, reality is, in South Florida, Dolphins fans would be super happy with a wild card playoff win just because it snaps the streak and they haven't won a playoff game in 24 years. We should know, though, that getting to the second round of the playoffs and losing is not good enough. If the Panthers get knocked out by the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final, I don't want any cheering. This season would be a failure. If the Panthers don't win the Stanley Cup, Matthew Tkachuk will tell you it was not a great season. And that's what greatness is about, going for the top. Feeling like anything but complete success is not success. No participation trophies. We're talking about proud franchises. If the goal is to win a championship, let's not be happy with anything else but the championship and a parade. I know as a Panthers fan, I will not be happy if the Panthers do anything but win the Stanley Cup. They were in the Stanley Cup final last year, and they lost to the Vegas Golden Knights. Now they're in the Eastern Conference final yet again. If they beat the New York Rangers, they'll be back in the Stanley Cup final. And if they don't win it, I'm not happy. Hey, yeah, we got there again. No. It's time to win a championship. It's time for us in South Florida to have another parade. We haven't had one in a while. Hopefully, we get one soon, which will probably be in Fort Lauderdale. It's funny because the Panthers play in Sunrise. If they won it all, they'd probably have a parade in Fort Lauderdale. Inter Miami, they're playing very well. They play in Fort Lauderdale, like almost towards Palm Beach, but yes, Fort Lauderdale. If Inter Miami won the MLS title, they would probably have their parade next to Miami International Airport, where their stadium is supposed to go. Never, ever gonna get it. Funny how that works. You may wonder how these golf carts you see in your neighborhood work and you thought about getting one yourself. You got to hit up Cliggy's Carts. If you've seen a golf cart in your neighborhood that you want to get on, get one for yourself. And I say golf carts, but Cliggy's Carts, there's so much more. Cliggy's Carts are all aluminum. And not only does Cliggy have 48-volt carts, he's got 72-volt street legal carts. That means you get a license plate, a VIN number. You're the real deal. Drive it around. Cliggy is also an exclusive Royal EV dealer. If you're going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Cliggy's Carts. Go ahead and Google Cliggy's Carts. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and that's Cliggy with a K. You can also go test drive a cart for yourself. You don't have to ask someone in your neighborhood, hey, you mind if I drive it around? No, go to Cliggy's Carts. They're located at 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach. And right now, Cliggy will give you a $2,000 rebate. If you're going to get a cart, get it from Cliggy's Carts. One more thing I want to say here about New York and Florida. Doesn't the Rangers-Panthers series, which starts Wednesday at MSG, feel like it's the best matchup? The best two teams in the East going at it for a spot in the Stanley Cup final? Such a huge opportunity for the Panthers. A huge moment also for the Rangers. Those New York fans, they're going nuts there for their Rangers. We've got two more days before that series begins. It's going to be so much fun. Wednesday and Friday in New York, Sunday in Sunrise for Game 3. That's all the time I got for this Monday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.